Chapter 2. The Yakreth Warrior. The woodlands of Rathlabad covered the entirety of that immaculate world. It was a world in which, like any other, nature ruled supreme. The difference in Rathlabad was that every species knew it. They dared not challenge her balance, for they understood the consequences, both for the cosmos as a whole and their own journey through it. All elements, all life were revered, but especially the trees. Ancient and life-giving, they were worshipped for their shelter, their shade, their medicine and wisdom. Above all, they were worshipped for holding the world together in every way, especially through their roots, which prevented soil from being blown away. Many tribes dwelt there in peace. One, however, stood out. They were called the Yakreth, a tribe whose skills in hunting were legendary, not only in their own world, but in many others as well. Like all exceptional hunters, they made exceptional warriors. Some called them assassins, though not in the conventional sense, for they fought for nature, for balance and for wholeness. In a cosmos where so many forces created destruction, few were pure enough to hire the Yakreth, and so they largely worked for themselves. Two of their tribe were currently descending through a rainstorm. One was a giant osprey, its fierce yellow eyes and outstretched magnificence undimmed by the weather. Riding on its back, with brown eyes just as fierce, was a girl on the verge of womanhood. At first glance, one might have thought her primitive. Across her back was a bow, and her clothing was made of leather. On closer inspection, the clothing was exquisitely made, leaf-patterned, and fitted her like hornbeam bark to the trunk of a tree, perfectly complementing her rich, earth-coloured skin. Finally, they broke through the rain. Greeting them amid a canopy of green was a vast amphitheatre of waterfalls.
"Ah, Bin!" exclaimed the girl. "How good it feels to be back! That snow up there on the surface," she said, referring to Earth, for that's how those of the inner world spoke of it. "It's so beautiful, but brrr, cold! I'm much more suited to here."
"You were born somewhere far colder," said Bin Shear the osprey, who to Rani was like an older sister.
"Kashmir," said Rani,
a word she liked the sound of. "A troubled place in the troubled world," said Bin, "where humans, like all humans in such times, fight for ownership of what cannot be owned, but only known, only worshipped."
"Land," sighed Rani,
for she loved it as much as she loved the air and the sea. "But why was it just me who was brought here after the earthquake? My parents weren't the only ones who died. I still don't understand. Why did the Ancient One go there and select me, bringing me to a world far away from the surface?" Only twice had Rani seen the being she called the Ancient One, but she had never forgotten the green of his eyes, blazing with secrets beneath the hood of his cloak, secrets too great to tell. "Braze Heath, you mean? You're old enough to call him by his real name." "Braze Heath, then. But why did he do it?" pressed Rani. It was her favourite subject. Bin released a sigh. "Who can guess at the behaviour of one so powerful?" she said. "But I'm glad he did. The nature up there, like here, it's breathtaking. But why do the people there make such a mess of it? Why do they insult the Great Mother so? Don't they realise?" "For now, they have forgotten. It's as though they can't stand the sight of her, the way they chop her down. I don't understand it. They cause so much destruction. And yet to observe the way they move in those things called towns, they look powerless. The men don't move like men. The women don't move like women. There's no polarity, no tautness. They all look the same, isolated and scared, rushing from building to building." Rani thought back to the secret mission, her first proper one. She and Bin, who was able to shrink down to the regular size of an osprey, had been charged with keeping watch on a boy called Jake as he returned home from Scotland. She hadn't been told why she had to. Her instructions were simply to ensure that no harm came to him. Everything had been going fine when, from the rooftops through the snow, she had spotted someone following him. The sight of the follower had caused her hairs to stand on end. She had immediately recognised what he was. In an instant, her bow had been loaded. It had taken great restraint not to fire, but to have done so might have caused chaos, hence her reluctant return to consult her chief. "Hurry, Bin," she said. "We've taken a big risk leaving the boy unprotected. We must get our instructions and return to the surface as quickly as we can." Bin tucked in her wings and shot towards an especially large tree that commanded a view of the entire waterfalls and the jungle that fell away beyond them. As they flew towards it, Rani reflected on her conversation with Bin. "I'm from the surface, and my first mission is also up there, to protect this new lord to the House of Tusk." Yet, it wasn't a mission she could embrace wholeheartedly. There was something about this Jake that left her cold. It wasn't his appearance, which seemed innocent. It was something she perceived in his energy, a type of old darkness she didn't understand, that reminded her of mandrake forests, places of deep initiation. But it had been difficult to judge in town. She would have to wait until she saw him in nature and observe its response to him. Bin swooped down towards the upper boughs of the tree. She landed on one of its giant branches in front of a gaping archway that led into the trunk. Stationed on either side of it were two black panthers. Close to each of them were bows and arrows, for Yakreth panthers were able to shift into human form if battle required it. But they weren't humans, unlike Rani, who was the only real human among them. So too was Bin the only osprey in the tribe, selected especially for Rani, since she couldn't shift shape into a panther. Regardless, she embodied their ferocity and valour and aspired to the panther's ancient symbolism of reclaiming one's true power. On seeing Rani and Bin, the panthers gave short bows of their stern-faced heads. Rani slid off Bin and laid down her bow in a customary mark of respect. Also customary, for her at least, she kept possession of the two curved kukri-like knives that she wore crisscross through the back of her belt. She and Bin passed through the archway into a large circular hall, magnificent in its simplicity. Torches burned from the burnished insides of the tree, casting menacing shadows about the towering statues of heroic panthers past. A fountain flowed at its centre. Beyond it, at the far end, was another archway. Sitting majestically within it, looking out across the waterfalls through the rain, was a particularly powerful-looking panther. Rani, followed by Bin, crossed the hall and stopped a small distance short of it. "Chief Ezram," she said, bowing her head to his broad back.
"Warriors Rani and Bin Shia," replied Ezram in a deep and dignified voice without turning around. "Why are you here and not on the surface?"
"I wouldn't have left my watch, my chief, were it not for a complication. Something which, I believe, warrants your counsel." Ezram said nothing. Rani visualized his face in human form, whose features were known on the surface as Tibetan. Framed in long greying hair, it would be at that moment expressionless. His wise eyes half closed in contemplation. She knew it well, for it was Ezram that Braze Heath had entrusted with her upbringing. "My chief, the Lord-in-Waiting has returned from that place where they imprison children and make them blind and stupid. School, they call it. But he's been approached by someone. Someone who's trying to become his friend, though only so that he can lead him astray. It is this that I have come to consult you about."
Still Ezram remained silent, continuing to look out over the falls.
"It's the way he moves and the look in his eyes," explained Rani.
"I think his
"He is," interrupted Ezram.
"So you know! But how can that be?" she asked. "The Ancient One, Braze Heath, surely he would have intervened. Surely he knows."
"Naturally."
"Then why?"
"Destiny is a rich tapestry, made up of many threads. One can never be sure how things might play out, or who will play which role."
Her head swam with the scale of his words and the implications of what she had witnessed. "My chief, we are nature's warriors, protectors of balance. The House of Tusk has a similar role, is it not so?
But if this Tusk boy, Jake, were to be allowed into such a powerful place and under the influence of this other one, then I can't imagine how anything but destruction will follow.
From destruction comes creation. And as for imagination, the reason yours is currently failing you is because you're too far from your quarry to empower it. The Yakreth are strong when they are close.
Only then do we observe the subtleties and know whether and when to act, said Ezram, his reprimand all the more cutting for its calm delivery.
Rani wished to take issue, but Bin nudged her with a wingtip and gently shook her head. Besides, Ezram was right. A warrior had to be as close and as fluid and natural as the wind in order to be effective as nature's right hand, a role that had once been human's until that hand was severed by a mysterious series of events 10,000 years earlier.
Then, with your permission, Chief Ezram, she said, her tone betraying her injured pride, we will take leave and make haste for the surface.
Since you are here, began Ezram, and finally turned to face them. His eyes were so powerful that all but the most fearless would shrink before them. But Rani knew him too well. I have further instructions for you. When the Lord-in-Waiting descends to him Assisi to take up residence at the House of Tusk, you're to follow him. Stay close, but out of sight. Your mission remains to protect him.
What? Exclaimed Rani, dropping all protocol. She couldn't believe her ears. Her eyes shone with excitement. You mean we should actually enter the fort, enter the House of Tusk?
Ezram nodded.
But how will we get in? I've heard it's almost impossible unless invited.
When the time is right, you'll have access. Follow your instincts. She shot a glance at Bin, whose proudly puffed up feathers were a perfect expression of Rani's own feelings. Euphoria coursed through her. Not only was the House of Tusk said to be a place of untold power, but the natural beauty surrounding it was unsurpassed by anywhere else in the cosmos, even Rathlabad.
Of course I will go, my chief, she said, recovering her composure. But what I don't understand is why I'm required at all. Surely the House of Tusk and Breeze Heath himself have enough resources and enough power to protect the new lord.
Ezram was silent, though he held her in his unsmiling gaze.
Breeze Heath does know about this mission, doesn't he?
She asked, once again forgetting herself.
Rani, who knew every subtlety of Ezram's face, panther or human, noticed the twinkle in his eyes.
Has he been here recently? She asked excitedly. Was it he who asked you to send me?
I knew it! She cried, reading Ezram's silence. I wish I could have seen him. Why didn't you tell me, father?
No one is to know, he said, maintaining his serious tone, while his eyes betrayed a glimmer of pride.
But I still don't understand why me. I'm not yet a full warrior, she admitted, and modestly, for it was widely known that she was one of the tribe's finest archers.
Consider this your initiation.
Rani positively trembled with excitement on hearing this, and would have leapt up and hugged Ezram, were it not for her lingering concern surrounding the new lord and Braze Heath's choice of her as protector. It was deeply mysterious, like his taking her from the surface all those years ago, and his knowing about Frost, but doing nothing about it.
If it's a secret, even from those in the fort, pondered Rani, then Braze Heath must consider the fort at risk from the inside.
Perhaps, said Ezram.
And maybe he's chosen me, because this Lord Jake and I would be the only two humans in the inner worlds. Though why that would make me better at protecting him, I don't know.
I am not privy to Braze Heath's thoughts. Time will reveal why he chose you, said Ezram, marking the end to the discussion. In the meantime, take care not to lose your balance.
Rani frowned.
What do you mean?
You are a woman now, but never forget your first love, said Ezram before turning away again.
Rani knew only too well that a Yakreth warrior's first love was always nature, though why Ezram had sought to remind her she had no idea.
Of course not, my chief, she said,
somewhat pompously. Nothing will ever challenge that.